All right? Okay. I don't do this all that well, so we'll see. Actually, after is out, and that's what I'm going to read some poems from. Am I speaking loudly enough for you? Since you'll pick up on connections that other people probably would not, I thought I'd read a couple poems that are set in Frick Park, and then we can all think, well, I know where that is. Yeah, I've been there. So the first poem is called, and in fact it's the first poem in the book, it's called Reading Keats in Frick Park during the first weeks of spring. Once again, the old trees in the park, the great oaks and locusts twisting upward to the green fire of their crowns, and the dogwoods which were smoke all winter, the beeches which were columns of stone. Sunlight, the honey now ticking in the limbs. It's summer already on the cover of Keats's letters, judging by the lushness of Constable's trees, though inside I've left him to that chill Devon spring he complains of, a few months from the lakes in Scotland, the walking tours on which he'll rack the lining of his lungs. Even now, he's been listening to rain with a sense of being drowned, rotted like a grain of wheat, as if such jest were foreshadowing, which it's made to seem, his life plotted out like a novel. Still to come are those plaguey sore throats, the awful warmth about the heart he confused with immortality. Nor did truth turn out to be any urn of beauty but its own. And yet these days, the world seems a lot like the one in his ode, freed from the yearly round and unwearied there, budding air, lovers strolling together beneath the leaf-fringed trees they believe will never grow bare. And so it must appear, knob shoots sprouting on the ginkgos, blossoms spotting in the cherry's boughs. The next one is called The Writing on the Wall, and it's sort of behind the bocce ball courts, if you know where that is. Beyond the felt green lawns of the bowlers, on a path just inside the park, I found it, verse, set in cursive among the other names sprayed upon the stones, yet with none of their swollen letters, iridescent as molds. Solitary and light, it floated in the shadows like a blossom at the spread end of the bough. But whether it was meant as a summons, subject, or the tag someone chose to be known by, there was no way for me to tell. A year later, traced over, it shone a rust-stained red from the stones, scoured by weather, the acids of the city air. It's now grown fainter still, leaving the wall with nothing but its riddle. The book's called After, but the motif here and throughout is of a teasel, and that's centered in the book with a poem of that name, teasel. Late summer, waiting for rain, the light sea green and backlit in the understory of the leaves, the little grotto of light which looks cool and sheltered as the inside of a jewel. Even the brown furs of lawn grass is drawing the promise of water into its nap. The teasel glowing brindle alongside the roads. It's time again, nearing the start of autumn and the birthday I thought I might never reach, to begin relearning just what I know, that anger is a kind of sorrow, that you have to sit still, that the white flash there where the tail feathers fan says dove, and the five mournful syllables and the heart-shaped fire. A few blown leaves drift past me, first winds raining in the trees. Now the dust growing damper under the grass. I want to say that the air feels like the cool fumes of witch hazel wicking off the skin, that the flesh is grass after all. The exhaustions of August, I remind myself, will again give way. The teas will give way all winter, a stiff burst on a stem. Seeing it then, I might even repeat my prayer for the burning earth, the dust in rising columns and light like gusts of heat. I might even walk out again around these streets, remembering the way the dry sky flashed and darkened. Rain stripped me of that feeling of standing there squandered, futureless in the drought. Okay. This is a poem about my neighbor that I can read because they moved away, so they won't know that I was displeased by their born-again presence. A poem is called Against Transcendence. Jesus is the reason for the season, proclaims my neighbor's bow-wrapped door, getting it exactly backwards again this year. The winter solstice only weeks away, opaque slate skies, a day-long dusk in the dry brush of branches blurring in the woods. Do you worship God or animals? Asks a sticker from the back of his pickup truck. Could he look down from the tomb of heaven, Cotton Mather would be pleased by the granite sky, the cold Old Testament comfort of the faith, and by the faithful bedrock salt of the earth, hunkered down and ready to be raptured. Winter nights enlarge the number of their hours, wrote a poet with the name of a wildflower, of the white campion which blooms at night, and the starry petals ascending slender spines. The frame of the sky flooded with constellations, the tiny novae burning like bits of tungsten, while below, here, if the air is dry enough and cold, there's the taste of metal that comes from snow. Bare limbs and briars, the croziers of weeds, bird with their small spurred seeds. I have time for the title poem after is a long poem. I'm not going to read all that, but I thought I might read just a couple stanzas from it. It's a 14 section poem in which the first it's a bizarre notion of a sonnet. The first section is 14 lines, and then 13, 12, 12, back to one. So there's 12, so you get 14, although they're varying lengths in that. And these or after the death of my wife, there's a quote from the great Spanish poet Machado that sets it up, "Beat heart, the earth has not swallowed everything." The first of the month, the cactus gets watered, the jade tree every other week, the tubs of dumb cane each Sunday, intervals like octaves, halved along their chord of days. Sometimes it's not so bad, teasing out rituals. Fridays mean a trip to the supermarket. Sometimes the rituals seem more like chores. Sitting in traffic the other day, I listened to a voice on the radio claiming uncontested happiness was the goal. You just choose it. Goodbye, Mesa Solemnis, I thought. Goodbye, cooling board blues. Sometimes, home in the flat light of late afternoon, I can't even find my way into the music. And sometimes, out of nowhere, there's a gift, like the dead tree blooming in the yard. I thought its leafing was amazing enough, but there it was, bridal and blossom, the wild cherry toppled by winds last year, straight lined alongside the garden. All summer I'd mowed around it, admiring the luster of the cordovan bark, its bands of welted whorls, how the fruit was now a windfall for the deer. Leaves wick the sap from a blowdown, so I'd figured the tree for the chainsaw this spring, already 1 year closer to seasoned, and instead found it gowned in flowers. And I'll finish with this one. This is the third end. Mornings at the laptop, I float my words on a river of light, white them out again, the soft burrs of rust on the hillsides. Whole hours when it goes well, gone by, rust with its retinue of oxides, moth, the effects of time to waste away by idling, words to test on the current, words to sound out in turn. Strange, this art in which we turn away from others, stipples of rust on the hillsides, the autumn raw sienna of the leaves, in order to join them through our words. Thank you.